And now, direct from the Wren Studios in historic Charlottesville, Virginia, it's the Mike and Murphy Show. Together for over 6 years, bringing you musical history, thoughtful insights, and their unique take on the music of yesteryear, help me welcome Mike and Murphy.
Day when they drive them all away, there are strange things happening every day. Every day,
every day,
every day,
every day,
there are strange things happening every day.
Every day,
every day,
every day,
every day.
Sister Rosetta Tharpe.
Yes.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And that's a true statement if we ever heard one.
It's absolutely true. Historic moments in rock slash pop history is what we're doing.
Oh, was that a historic moment?
Definitely. 1944. That was done in response to the backlash from black religious leaders who had criticized her for performing and recording gospel music for a secular audience. What the hey? I mean, come on, guys. Give me a break. That's, well, Yep. Okay.
Okay.
That was her response. Way to go.
Okay.
She's known as the godmother of rock and roll, by the way.
And we can hear it right there, can't we?
And we certainly can. And that was in 44.
No. That's what we think here is, what would rock and roll look like without Sister Rosetta Tharpe?
I don't know.
And her kicking on that guitar like she does.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
She was something else. She's a special woman.
Yeah, this next one, too.
Yeah. So, Rocket 88, Jackie Brunson and his Delta Cats, which was really Ike Turner and his band.
I was going to say, and he didn't get credit for it.
He didn't get credit for it. And so, this is considered perhaps the first true rock and roll record that was ever recorded. So. Yeah, that's debatable, right?
It is. I've got one from 46 that could get in there.
Yeah. And then there's always Fats Domino, the Fat Man. Some people say that.
I know.
But the consensus, the most critics,
music critics, Rocket 88.
Say Rocket 88. So
they do.
We'll call this a historic moment.
Heard of Jalopy if you've heard the noise they make, but let me introduce my new Rocket 88. Yes, it's straight, just one way. Everybody likes my Rocket 88. Baby, we'll ride in style, moving all along. Smart and designed, black convertible top, and the gals don't mind. Sporting with me, riding all around town for joy. Blow your horn, Raymond, blow! In my rocket and don't be late, baby, we're pulling out about half past eight. Going round the corner and hit a fifth, everybody in my car's gonna take a little nip. Move on out, oozing and cruising along.
The King, that's all right. Yep.
That's all right. That's all right.
That's all right.
That was a little better than all right, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was better than all right. We played two Sun recording in a row there. The Rocket 88 was from Sun also. That's all right was also Sun, Sam Phillips. And I actually met him when I was in Memphis. Seemed like a good old boy, you know.
He certainly was an important.
He was one of the pioneers,
right?
Back in the day, and I mean Carl Perkins, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Buddy Holly, Wanda Jackson, all recorded there at Sun. at one time or another. As a matter of fact, Elvis and Jerry Lee, Johnny and Carl were the Million Dollar Quartet.
Mm-hmm. So why not add Buddy Holly and Wanda Jackson? Get up to $2 million.
There you go.
Why not?
I get $2-3 million.
Right, right.
Oh my goodness!
Get a lot out of them.
And of course, that was the first recorded by Arthur Big Boy Crudup in '46, which was my bid for the first rock and roll. A lot of people say it was a little more bluesy, so who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway, Elvis did a good job, for sure.
Did
really stylized.
Right. And it was pretty pioneering right there. How about the first rock and roll record to top the Billboard charts?
Oh, man.
Rock Around the Clock, Bill Haley and his Comets. And this one, of course, they had already been doing music prior to this, rock and roll records.
Right.
Just didn't have any that topped the chart. And this one was actually released a year before this. And, of course, we know it was used in the movie Blackboard Jungle.
Yes.
So they re-released it, and it shot to the top of the charts, stayed there for 7 weeks. All about timing, isn't it?
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're going to rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on. Join me, home. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes one. We're going to rock around the clock tonight. We're going to rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're going to rock, going to rock around the clock tonight. When the clock strikes 2, 3, and 4, if the band slows down, we'll yell for more. We're going to rock around the clock tonight. We're going to rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're going to rock around the clock tonight. When the chimes ring 5, 6, and 7, we'll be right in seventh heaven. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. When it's 8, 9, 10, 11, 2, I'll be going strong and so will you. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight.
Thank you. broke the bread up and also the fishes. And then his disciples went ahead. But the more passed round, the more they found, with lots left over when all had been fed. On only two little fishes and five loaves of bread. Hear what I said. If we all doubled another, then the world would be fed on only two little fishes and five loaves of bread.
Ooh, that'd be K-Star.
K-Star.
Right, Rock and Roll Waltz,
yeah,
the name of that one.
That's good.
A lot of first for this one. We're doing historic moments in rock and pop history. And how about the first number one single by a female singer?
That'll work.
In the rock era. That's a pretty good achievement. Also, the first to have rock and roll in the title.
I mean, darn.
Yeah, we know that we had Rock Around the Clock, but that was just the rock. Didn't have the roll.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's also the first number one single for RCA Records. I'm sure they were happy with that. And the first million-selling record by a female artist during the rock era.
So she belongs in that million-dollar quartet.
Yeah, exactly. She did a whole lot of good stuff there. So.
Yeah, absolutely. This next guy, RCA. It was his first national number one. How about that? 1956, Heartbreak Hotel. What a song.
And who did it?
That would be Elvis Presley,
oh,
the
guy.
King of rock and roll.
I remember him.
Yeah, and it was cool because his first national release and turned him into a national superstar, for sure. He was already big in Memphis. But it combined
a little bit of a teen idol, maybe.
I would say so, man.
Not just the teens, though.
No,
I think all the women loved him.
I know, man. But it was the best-selling single of '56, and hit number one on the pop, the country, and the R&B charts.
Awesome.
How about that?
Nothing has done that before.
Is
that
definitely nothing before that, for sure.
Historic.
Yes.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. It's down at the end of Lonely Street, that Heartbreak Hotel, where I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely, I'll be just so lonely, I could die. Although it's always crowded, you still can find some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry there in the gloom. I'll be so, I'll be just a lonely baby. I'll be just so lonely. I'll be so lonely. I'll make it die. Man, the bellhop's tears keep flowing. The desk clerk's dressed in black. Well, they've been so long on the street. They'll never look back and think it's so. Think it's so lonely, baby. Well, they're so lonely. Well, they're so lonely. I'll make it die. Well, if your baby leaves you, you've got a tale to tell. Or just take a walk down Lonely Street to Heartbreak Hotel, where you will be, where you'll be just so lonely, baby. Well, you'll be lonely, you'll be so lonely, you could die. Well, they're so lonely. They'll be so lonely. They could die.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper
in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning when the sun didn't shine. I picked up my shovel and I walked to the mine. I loaded 16 tons, a number 9 coal, and the straw boss said, well, bless my soul, you load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning, it was drizzling rain. Fighting and trouble are my middle name. I was raised in the canebrake by an old mama line. Can't know a high-toned woman make me walk the line. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. If you see me coming, better step aside. A lot of men didn't, a lot of men died. One fist of iron, the other of steel. If the right one don't get you, then the left one will. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Oh man, 1955, Tennessee Ernie Ford singing about coal, loading that coal, and it was considered the first significant early country to pop crossover in American history. So that's
significance. And a big one at that.
That is big, yes.
Yes.
And it dominated country and western for sure, but it spent 10 weeks on those charts, but 8 weeks on the number one on the pop chart. So
that's
that was huge.
Right.
Very significant.
I would think that is definitely a big deal. As is this next one, the Platters.
Oh, yeah.
The first black artist to have a number one single in the pop charts during the rock era.
That's amazing.
And, of course, we know Tony Williams, those soary, emotive lead vocals.
Yes.
And the backing vocals, the Platters were just as good as it gets.
They really were. And they used to call it race music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just call it
good music.
Great music.
Great music, yes.
I'm the great pretender, adrift in a world of my own. I play the game, but to my real shame, you've left me to dream all alone. Conceal. Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. Just laughing and gay like a clown. I seem to be what I'm not. You see, I'm wearing my heart like a crown. Still around. Too real is this feeling of make believe. Too real when I feel what.
that you're still around.
By the Sailor Man. 97.9 The Wren. The Wren.
One of the most famous in music history. All kinds of guitars.
What did you think? Chuck Berry did something historic?
I think he did, man. It was amazing. But all these guys, Keith Richards, Jimi Hendrix, and a little more recent, Angus Young, was their primary inspiration. Of course, you know, the guys over there in England, they took our music and then gave it back to us.
Yeah, a little slightly different form.
Slightly different, yeah.
Well, and remember, let's not forget Bob Seger.
Exactly.
All of Chuck's children are out there playing his licks.
There you go. Yeah, it's true.
The ultimate compliment, right?
But it definitely sent the blueprint for the rock star aspiration.
Yeah, again, don't know where we'd be without him. So,
no, and that's, I don't either. And Chuck Berry, man.
And when we're talking about historic moments in rock pop history, which is a theme for our show, that... we could not do it without Chuck Berry.
No.
So, and we couldn't do it without this guy either.
No.
Little Richard.
I know, the architect.
Right. He definitely is that. He probably called himself more than that, but you know, we'll go along with it. But
I've seen the some YouTubes of you know, Little Richard, where he was passing out an award, and he said, "The winner is me."
he was unique.
Was very unique.
Every which way, but he was also so inventive.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, his raw gospel influence vocal, that clanking of that piano. And, well, how about people like Elvis, the Beatles, David Bowie, Queen? They all cite him as a massive influence.
Yes.
And, and in 2007, an eclectic panel of recording artists and critics voted it number one of Mojo's top 100 records that changed the world. We're talking about Tutti Frutti.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was monumental.
Yes, it was.
Not yet. All right.
So we're doing historic moments in rock pop history, and we certainly, like we said, we couldn't do it without Chuck Berry or Little Richard. We certainly couldn't do it without Ray Charles either.
Definitely.
And what I'd say, the name of that one from him, and it's considered a defining moment in rock and roll history. It's kind of a foundational moment, too, for soul music.
Because
they were bridging the gap between gospel, blues, early rock. And this song, remember, you know, I don't know, remember having too many call and response songs prior to this.
I don't, for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's kind of taken right from the church, right from the black churches.
Yeah.
That gospel. And mixing it with the secular lyrics. This is what soul music was all about.
You know? Absolutely was.
We talked about Ray Charles being pretty much the inventor of soul music.
Yeah.
And as we would know it in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah. Yeah. And, now. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it was funny. That was in 58. And they did, a few years later, Stevie Wonder did a pretty good call and response.
Exactly.
You know,
with
so
harmonica.
Yeah, it definitely did.
Well, what's funny too is that he had run out of material. He was performing.
Yeah.
And he still had 12 minutes to fill. That's when he invented this song.
Yes, he did.
That's pretty good improvisation there.
Well, this next one has got some, you know, historical meaning for sure. Mm-hmm. It was the first foreign song, you know, foreign language song to top the charts.
Hmm.
And I'm talking about Volare.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Domenico Modugno or something like that.
Somewhere in that range.
A successful foreign language hit in American history and reshaped the global music industry.
Mm.
Yep. And well, the first non-English record to top the charts, 22 million copies.
Worldwide.
How about that?
That is impressive.
Yes.
Penso che un sogno così non ritorni mai più. Mi dipingevo le mani e la faccia di blu. Poi d'improvviso venivo dal vento rapito e incominciavo a volare nel cielo infinito. Volare. Cantare, oh, 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 nel blu, dipinto di blu, felice di stare lassù, e volavo, volavo, felice, più in alto del sole ed ancora più su, mentre il mondo pian piano spariva lontano laggiù. Una musica dolce suonava soltanto per me. Volare, oh, cantare, oh, 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 nel blu, dipinto di blu, felice di stare lassù. Ma tutti i sogni nell'alba svaniscono perché quando tramonta la luna li porta con sé. Ma io continuo a sognare negli occhi tuoi belli che sono blu come un cielo trapunto di stelle. Volare, oh, cantare, oh, 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 nel blu degli occhi tuoi blu, felice di stare qua giù, e continuo a volare felice più in alto del sole ed ancora più su. Mentre il mondo pian piano scompare negli occhi tuoi blu. La tua voce è una musica dolce che suona per me.
occhi tuoi blu, felice di stare qua giù, nel blu degli occhi tuoi blu, felice di stare qua giù con me.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave, you know it's a lie, 'cause that'll be the day when I die. Well, you give me all your loving and your dirty loving, all your hugs and kisses and your money too. Well, you know you love me, baby. Still, you tell me maybe that someday will I'll be true. Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave, you know it's a lie, 'cause that'll be the day when I die. When you make me cry, you say you're gonna leave, you know it's a lie, 'cause that'll be the day when I die. Well, when Cupid shot his dart, he shot it at your heart. So if we ever part, then I leave you. You sit and hold me and you tell me boldly that someday, well, I'll be blue. Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave, you know it's a lie, 'cause that'll be the day when I die. Well, that'll be the day. Ooh, ooh, that'll be the day. Ooh, ooh, that'll be the day. Ooh, ooh, that'll be the day.
So I think a lot of people may have forgotten that Buddy Holly and the Crickets pioneered the standard guitar, bass, drums, rock lineup.
Yes.
They really didn't have that before that.
No, they didn't.
They were the ones that kind of made that, you know, that what would become the rock and roll group.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
of course, they influenced a whole lot of other artists, including the Quarrymen.
Right, the Quarrymen.
Because the Quarrymen, the first song they ever recorded was That'll Be the Day. And the Quarrymen, who did they become?
The Beatles.
Oh, okay. I thought they sounded familiar.
Yeah, they had a guy on there, Stuart Sutcliffe was in the Quarrymen. Yeah.
Unfortunately, he passed away
he
at a very young age.
Yes, he did. And speaking of pass away, of course, we had Buddy Holly, who passed away with him on that fateful day in 1959? Well, that would have been Ritchie Valens. Mm. And he had a number of hits. La Bamba, of course, he's well known for. Big hit. But then this one, Donna, is really, really good. And it was about his high school sweetheart, Donna Ludwig. And so it proved that an artist with Mexican-American heritage could command mainstream nationwide attention. And so there you go.
All you had to do was be good and have good
that's
song.
All, it's kind of like everybody, you know.
You could sell a record.
Sell records, yeah.
Didn't matter what your heritage was.
Exactly.
But he broke that barrier, though.
He did.
Oh, Donna. Oh, Donna. Oh, Donna. Oh, Donna. I had a thank you.
So, of course, this one has a rather interesting historic moment in rock history.
Mm-hmm.
The shortest single ever to reach number one, 1 minute and 36 seconds.
Yes.
And there's something tricky about this because it leaves you wanting more. Yeah?
It definitely does.
So I wonder if some of the kids back then, as soon as the record ended, picked it up and put it back at the beginning again.
Just
kept listening to it two or three times.
Yeah,
So they could get their whole value out of it or something like that. But Maurice Williams wrote the song in 1953. He was only 15 years old. He had a teenage crush whose parents made him come home at 10 p.m. This features the famous soaring falsetto by Henry Shane Gaston. And, we heard a lot of falsettos after that, didn't we?
We definitely did. Man, this next one by the Beatles, I Want to Hold Your Hand, amazing. Brings back so many memories for me. And I actually heard it in late 63.
Hmm.
And I could not believe it when I heard it. I said, oh, my goodness, they are great. Wow.
A lot of people had that reaction.
I definitely caught Beatlemania the first time I heard them.
Right.
You know, and then I heard the name, and I kind of went, what? And then I saw how they spelled it, and I went, oh, that makes sense.
Yes. Clever name.
Number one by February of 64, 12 million copies worldwide, and it definitely immortalized their, their presence, you know, and that performance on the Ed Sullivan Show, February 1964. I remember watching that, and my mother going, "That's not even music."
As parents will do.
I know. That's it. But.
Feel happy inside. It's such a feeling that my love I can hide. Yeah, you got that something I think you'll understand. When I say that something I wanna hold your hand. Happy inside. It's such a feeling that my love I can hide. Yeah, you got that something I think you understand. When I feel that something I wanna hold your hand.
To feel alright, I'll get you anything, my friend, if it makes you feel alright. Cause I don't care too much for money, but money can buy me love. I'll give you all I've got to give if you say you love me too. I may not have a lot to give, but what I got, I'll give to you. I don't care too much for money, but money can buy me love, can buy me love. Everybody tells me so, can buy me love.
I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love. Satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things that money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love. Buy me love. Love.
Man, that hit number one on April 4th of 64. Man, 19 days after it was released on my birthday in 1964.
You were born in 1964?
I was. No, I'm a little bit older than that.
Oh, okay.
But March 16th was my birthday, and they had already achieved sales of 2.7 million advanced orders.
Hmm.
Now, I will say... that's amazing right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. The I saw a similar thing with Suspicious Minds with Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
There were already 1 million advanced orders.
Mm.
So he had 1 million seller regardless.
Before he even released it.
Yeah. Chips went, you could release Happy Birthday to You. That's a guaranteed million.
There you go. Well, and plus, remember, Can't Buy Me Love jumped from 27 to number one.
Yeah.
And yeah,
in 19 days.
Yeah, well, in one trip. I mean, yeah. One jump though.
I know,
one massive jump. 1 week it was 27. Next week number one.
Amazing.
And they had the top five spots on the Billboard.
It was
just an amazing time for the Beatles. But that certainly historic, and that's what we're doing: historic moments in pop and rock history. Now we're gonna go to Mary Wells.
Next one. Whoa,
yeah,
Mary
my Wells. Guy. Certainly a historic moment.
Yes.
Released in March 64, written by who other? Smokey,
yep.
Of course.
Yep.
Yeah, he was kind of important to Motown. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But it was the first single on the label to reach number one.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we know they had a whole lot of number ones after that.
They definitely
did.
So
this was the beginning of a whole lot of good things for Motown. And it was one of their earliest breakthroughs. In the UK as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Beatles, of course, huge fans of Mary Wells, even inviting her to open for them.
Yeah, she's known as the Queen of Motown.
The Queen of Motown, and why not?
Together I'm tired.
for my God.
Tell me more.
There's not a man today who could take me away from my God.
From the Pepsi of Central Virginia studios, the best music of all time plays on 97.9 WRENLP Charlottesville. 97.9 The Ren. Tell a friend about us.
And tan and young and lovely, the gal from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, each one she passes goes, ah. When she walks, she's like a samba that swings so cool and sways so gently, that when she passes, each one she passes goes, ah. Watch her so sadly. How can he tell her he loves her? Yes, he would give his heart gladly. But each day when she walks to the sea, she looks straight ahead, not at he.
Ipanema.
Yeah.
And so you remember that Yesterday by the Beatles.
I do.
Is the most recorded song in history.
Yes.
Guess what the number two song, most recorded song of all time
I think
is.
It's that one.
It would be that one, believe it or not. That one kind of surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
But this song triggered the global bossa nova craze from the 1960s. Remember? That became a big thing.
I remember. I think Elvis even had a song blaming on the bossa nova, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it did a lot, let's say that. And certainly a great vocal there from Astrud.
Yes, yeah. And this next one by the Kinks. You really got me, and they really got me when I heard this song. What can I say?
Yeah.
August of 64, and it was the first major hit to feature that distorted guitar we know as fuzz. And, of course, they didn't have Fuzzbox. So Dave Davies said, let me just put a little razor blade slash in this his amplifier.
The cones to the speaker. Yeah.
And it became fuzz. He said, I like the sound. Of course, he could only do it once.
Right. But it was perfect.
But definitely became a building block of hard rock and punk and heavy metal.
Yeah. Yeah. Dave Davies, very famously in the late 70s, was asked by a reporter, so what do you think of this punk rock stuff? He said, I thought it was great when I invented it.
Yeah.
Girl, you really got me going. You got me so I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah, you really got me now. You got so I can't sleep at night. Yeah, you really got me now. You got me so I don't know what I'm doing. Girl, you really got me now. You got me so I can't sleep at night.
Oh, man, mentioning all those dances. No other than the hardest working man in show business, Mr. James Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that was from 65. And it was the first mainstream funk song. He brought funk to music, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely, known for that. But, you know, he... Just amazing. His earlier tracks, Out of Sight, remember that? Out of Sight?
I don't remember that one.
It kind of hinted at his new direction, but then this one became the true crossover hit from R&B.
This is the one everyone remembers.
Exactly.
He might have been doing funk before that, but nobody remembers that.
No, so. They don't. But this one definitely brought it into the mainstream for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
What can we say? James Brown, funk, they kind of go together, don't they?
Absolutely do.
All right. The Byrds.
Oh, man.
Mr. Tambourine Man.
Yes.
And certainly, a lot of people were covering Dylan's music at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But this was considered one of the more important moments in rock history because it pretty much got the folk rock genre going.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah,
it
gave it a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And by fusing Bob Dylan's poetic, socially conscious lyrics with driving drum beat and that jingling sound, McGuinn's electric 12-string guitar. It was just all new and wonderful sounding.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people certainly gravitated toward that. And the Byrds track proved American bands could find success on the charts as well.
Yeah.
Be without you know you only used to get juiced in it. Nobody's ever taught you how to live out on the street, and now you're gonna have to get used to it. You say you never compromise with the mystery tramp, but now you realize he's not selling any alibis as you stand to the vacuum of his eyes and say,
so, you know, Dylan never really cared about doing things the way that you were supposed to.
No, he definitely was a rebel.
He just did what he wanted.
He just did what he wanted, man.
Yeah.
Free spirit.
Yes, very free spirit. And, of course, you know, 6-minute rock and roll song. Well, who's going to play that?
Yeah.
Well, it got all the way up number 2. So I think a lot of people played it and a lot of people bought the record. And it's historical for that fact that he showed that you don't have to go with some conventional 2.5 and 3 minutes.
No, you don't.
You just do whatever the song requires.
Yeah.
That's Dylan.
And the queen of soul, Aretha, picked up an Otis Redding tune, R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Spelled it out for us, didn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, did. She did. And it was amazing because, of course, she just kind of flipped the script there, you know. It was amazing, her demand for equality and dignity.
Mm-hmm.
And she was an independent woman, and she definitely showed it on this tune.
Yeah, because it wasn't originally written for a woman.
It was not.
But she made it.
Yeah, it was
for her.
It was supposed to be a man asking his wife to respect him after he returned home.
Mm-hmm.
And she flipped it and turned it around, and amazing.
And we talked before about good timing.
Yes.
Well, I think that was good timing there, right?
I think so.
The women's lib movement was,
yes.
Going strong, so.
Jackson 5.
Find them all here on 97.9 The Wren.
She said, "I'd like
sure seems to use a lot of ice whenever he's away. And Mr. Baker, can you tell us why your secretary had to leave this town? And shouldn't Widow Jones be told to keep her window shades off?
A lot of cool things about this song, certainly historic moments in rock pop history, which is what we're doing today. Harper Valley PTA, Jeannie C. Riley. And this one right here, this was written by Tom T. Hall.
Yes.
And he had written it, gave it to a producer to, you know, to go ahead and have somebody sing. Of course, it had to be sung from a female.
Yes.
And the producer sat on it for 6 months. Because he couldn't find the right voice. He needed a voice that was a little tough, a little sassy, but a good voice. And finally found Jeannie C. Riley. She was perfect for the song.
I would say so.
Yeah. And so first time a female artist simultaneously topped both the Billboard Hot 100 and the U.S. Country Singles Chart.
That's amazing.
With the same song.
And a pretty good jump from 81 to 7.
81 to 7. That held the record, I think, all the way to about 09 or something. I forget when exactly it was, but the record got beat at one point.
I'll be darned.
But 81 to 7, that's a significant jump. So,
well, I got to tell you, this next tune, I'm loving it. Black Sabbath.
Oh, yeah.
Ozzy, Paranoid, and it was a milestone. It established that blueprint for heavy metal.
Mm.
And it just transformed hard rock into an entirely new, maybe a little darker, maybe a little more aggressive sound.
Maybe? Did you say maybe?
Maybe, yeah. but the guitar riffs and that driving rhythm, unbelievable.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's the basic DNA of heavy metal. Heavy metal today has totally changed, but I really appreciate Ozzy and his contribution.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, heavy metal started right here.
It did.
We'll be right back.
Kind of funky, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Sly and the Family Stone, mm-hmm. And this was the first funk song to top the charts.
Hey, how
making
about
it,
that?
Making it a pivotal moment in rock history. Mm-hmm. We talked about James Brown pretty much inventing funk, but here was Sly and his group. And you've heard of Larry Graham, right?
Yes.
Yes. So he was kind of a defining feature in this particular song. He was the bassist, and he pretty much invented the slap and pop technique that you hear in this.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So, boom, yeah.
Boom, boom. Yeah.
They had a lot. They didn't always have drummers. So
no.
In the early gigs, and so he started doing that, and boy, that certainly was a blueprint.
Yes.
Blueprint for funk, R&B, and hip hop.
Definitely. This next one, Hughes. Ever heard of Howard Hughes?
I have.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with him.
different Hughes.
Different Hughes. But Rock the Boat, released in 1964. And most music historians consider it to be the first disco song to hit number one. I would say that would be a historical event there.
Yeah, very much so.
And it was initially overlooked by the B-side. They had a single, Miracle Maker, Sweet Soul Shaker.
Now, I've heard that song before.
I've heard it as well, but this one got traction because the DJs, they flipped that record and began playing Rock the Boat.
At the discotheques?
Yes, at those discotheques. The first time I saw disco was in Europe. That's where it was born.
And oh, okay.
It came over here. So, but they had a mass success. And, of course, then disco came into the mainstream. These guys were the pioneers. Rock the Boat.
Our voyage of love began. Your touch has thrilled me like the rush of the wind, and your arms have held me safe from a rolling sea. There's always been a quiet place to harbor you and me.
Our love is like a ship on the ocean, we've been sailing with the cargo.
The notion.
the boat, baby.
Rock the boat.
Don't tip the boat over.
Rock the boat.
Don't rock the boat, baby.
Rock the boat.
Up to now we sailed through every storm, and I've always had your tender lips to keep me warm. Oh, I need to have the strength that flows from you. Don't let me drift away, my dear, when love can see me through.
Our love is like a ship on the ocean. We've been sailing with a cargo full of love and devotion. So I'd like to know where you got the notion. Said I'd like to know where you got the notion. So I'd like to know.
Don't rock the boat, baby.
Rock the boat.
Don't tip the boat over.
Rock the boat.
Ooh,
rock the boat.
Rock on with your bad tip.
Rock the boat.
Rock on with your bad tip.
Rock the boat.
Rock on with your bad tip.
Rock the boat.
Roll yeah, roll yeah,
baby.
Roll yeah, roll yeah, baby.
Rock the boat. 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 Rock the boat.
Now, with the Ramones, that may be probably one of the, on our whole list of historic moments, one of the most uncommercial historic moments.
Definitely.
Because the Ramones, for whatever reason, they didn't get the attention they deserved, but they were monumental in pushing forth the punk movement And that one right there, written by Joey Ramone. Sheena is a punk rocker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of funny how he describes it as the first surf punk rock teenage rebellion song. that's a nice description, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, they were really, what was punk rock? It's just a very quick, very fast song at a very fast pace and just blow it out.
Yeah.
And that's certainly what they did there.
They did. This next guy, Robin Scott. M. That was his moniker.
Okay. Yeah. M sounds a little easier to say than Robin Scott.
And he did this song, Pop Music, M-U-Z-I-K, mm-hmm. is music. And it was historically significant because it was one of the very first synthesizer-driven new wave track and went up to number one.
Okay.
So, yeah, I remember when the synths started coming in, you know?
Yeah.
And they had this was the first one to get it up to number one. And it kind of was the pioneer of that integration of European and American disco sounds. And it predicted the electro pop sound would also dominate the following decade.
To pay the rent. as I lives and breathes in 45 degrees.
The time has come to say fair's fair, to pay the rent, to pay our share.
Give it back.
How could we dance when our earth is turning? How do we sleep while our beds are burning? How could we dance when our earth is turning?
Man, Midnight Oil, one of my favorite groups, especially my favorite group from Australia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There are a lot of good groups from Australia.
They
now,
did,
so.
Man, but they were the first ones to bring that Australian Aboriginal rights to a worldwide audience. They were a environmental activist band. Mm-hmm. And they believed in human rights, and they made that song. It was amazing what they did. And so I love it.
Yeah, very well done. Very well done song too, and a very cool sounding song.
Yeah,
so good for them. So all right, we're doing historic moments, rock pop history, and we are just about out of time.
We are out of time. We're going to take next week off. Happy 250th birthday, America!
Right,
July 4th.
Yeah. So we'll take that off. Put another show in.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get one of our better shows.
Yeah, they're all good.
Oh, really?
They're okay. All our better
shows. They're all our better shows.
Yeah.
we'll just go eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Let everybody know when we finish the show. We go, man, that was the best show ever.
Every single week.
Yep.
Yeah. We keep getting better every week.
You got
to
do.
All right, one more to get us out of here. How about Video Killed the Radio Star from the Buggles?
Yes, the Buggles.
And this was the very first music video ever broadcast on MTV. It happened August 1st, 1981, 12:01 a.m. I was not awake for that one.
I was.
You were?
I was.
Okay, you remember that time.
I do.
Yeah.
And, it was great.
And is this the perfect song? MTV could not have picked a better song.
Yeah.
To start off their
I totally agree
their enterprise.
That. Mm-hmm.
I heard you on the wireless back in 52, lying awake intently tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through.
Video killed the radio star. going back in time. From the Pepsi of Central Virginia studios, we are 97.9 WREN LP Charlottesville. But you can call us 97.9 The Wren.